morning, church.
Good morning.
I hope you enjoyed that because I really did. This week I got to go, before I get sidetracked, let me do this first. Let me say hello to everybody watching online because I will forget. We love you guys. For those of you visiting, honored to have you here with us. Please know you can kick the tires, hang out with us as long as you want. We're not perfect people, but we serve a perfect God. And he's helping us out as we walk this out. This week I was blessed. I got a message last week toward the end of the week from a pastor, and I won't go into who he is, but if I told you, you would know who he is. Got an Instagram message about a retreat for pastors, and said, I've got 4 open slots. If you'd like to have one, you can come. And it was in St. John's Island, which is out in Charleston. And he said, just come. We're going to take 3 days and about 15 or 16 of us, and we're just going to fish, hang out, and eat. I like, sign me up. And this week as we were there, it was just a good place for pastors. You know, sometimes it's hard as a pastor to really unload and, like, tell people, hey, I've got junk in my life too, and I'm struggling with this, or how do you do this? And there were churches from like 15, 20,000 pastors to like us, and even actually some smaller than we are. And it was just so cool to sit around and just hear hearts and hear people who you would think, oh, wow, they're going to be, you know, like egotistical, and you know, they got a big church, and they sat down with you and they were in the same kind of issues and same things that I had. But I got to tell them. They said, what do you guys have coming up this Sunday? And I told them about doing baptism. And sometimes I think we lose focus of what's important. And as pastors, we can worry about numbers, how many people are here, and how many cars are in the parking lot, and how many kids we got in the kids' church. And yes, and even, what, you know, was the offering good? Or was it going to be, can we pay bills and all that kind of stuff? And we forget what's important. And what's important is that you have people who not only have receive salvation, but people who are willing to stand up in front of other people and say, now, I'm not, here's the thing. They're not claiming to be perfect, but they are claiming to know the one who is. They are claiming, I'm working on it. We don't congratulate people on being perfect. We congratulate them on identifying with their Savior and now letting God say, hey, let's work on some stuff. So again, as you see these guys and girls, celebrate with them. We'll have them pictures. We print up some pictures with the dates and all the stuff on it just as a way to remember this day because we do think it's important. All right, real quick, I'm going to have to go at warp speed, but buckle your seatbelts, hang on. You ready? Here we go. We're going to jump into this series. Next week will be our last week called Running with the Giants. If you're visiting with us, the theme or the idea of this series is the Bible talks about in heaven this great cloud of witnesses, these people who've gone before us. I believe our relatives who know Jesus are among that crowd. But also in there are the heroes of the faith. And the idea is, what if they could come down out of heaven and run a lap of life with us? What would they say? And it's based off this scripture in Hebrews chapter 12. And it says, therefore, we're surrounded by these people, and they're watching this life of faith. Then it says, hey, everything's not going to go perfect. You're going to have this thing called sin that tries to slow you down. So get rid of that. I'll create a way. I'm going to give you a way in Jesus to get rid of that. And then it says in the end of the verse, and let us run with endurance this race that God has before us. So how would this work if people could come down and talk to us? Today I'm going to ask a guy named Elisha, and I say it that way because I get it backwards, and I will overemphasize it so you guys can follow with me. We're going to be talking about Elisha with an S. He was mentored and served another prophet named Elijah with a J. If you want a quick, easy way to remember that, what's first in the alphabet, J or S? All right, now some of y'all think way back to school, ABCs. Right, J. Elijah came first, Elisha came second, and Elisha served Elijah. What you should know about Elijah, so you can learn about Elisha, is that Elijah has 14 recorded miracles. Elijah was also one of 2 people in the Bible that the Bible is very clear, the only 2 that never died. We'll see in a minute, the Bible says that Elijah was caught up, a chariot of fire came down, picked him up, and took him to heaven. He never died. He's one of only two in the Bible. That's important to know, because when you think, when I'm going to tell you how Elisha started. He started very, very humbly. But by the time he gets to the end of his life, he records 28 miracles, exactly double. And that'll make sense in a minute. You see, Elisha spent a large part of his life wandering and dreaming. Is there something better than this? Elisha very well understood what it meant to walk through the boring times. His daily view, and I'll show you it to you in Scripture here in a minute, was the back end of two oxes. Walking in a field, plowing fields, through the field, and whatever lovely presents those oxen dropped in front of him. All day, every day. That was his job. So he understood what it meant to literally walk through some terrible times, some boring times, and literally, quite literally, the crap of life. You know, he had to find himself thinking this. See if this resonates with you. Does my life count for anything? Does anybody even know I'm here? I've screwed up. I've messed up. Some of you have been there, maybe in life, maybe legally. And I've wasted any value my life has. Am I doing anything worth anything? I had a friend say that his goal in life was to do more than suck air every day. A lot of us live that way. We get up, oh good, thank God I'm alive, and we don't really do anything. We don't have any vision forward in our lives. Does my little life here in Screven County, Sylvania, really matter? Does it affect the world at all? Does our smallness, and I was discussing this week with pastors of some large churches, as a church, as a city, as a county, does it really make us somehow ineffective or unimportant? And when you find yourself in this place, and if you've been here all your life, you probably pretty instantly catch on to that. For those of you who are moving into the area, resist it, because I don't believe it's a godly thing. I think it's very much the devil trying to suck life out of our community. But as Elisha would say that when you find yourself in this way, your best is always found where God plants you. There have been a lot of people who leave where a small area where God planted them to try to go to a bigger city, to Augusta, Savannah, Atlanta, to wherever in the country, because bigger means better. No, it doesn't. You grow where God plants you. He created you to be where he planted you. And Elisha struggled with this. This is how I think your view gets changed from Elisha's looking at the back end of an ox to God moving you along in your purpose in life. He watches you and me in whatever we're doing. And ask yourself this question. Am I doing my best? I worked for you in college. In college, I worked leading a crew installing network cable, Ethernet, fiber, and as in my early 20s, 18, 19, 20, through there, they made me a crew leader. So I had a crew that worked under me. Most of them were older guys. And if I wasn't careful, because I was in charge and we worked way off, away from bosses, away from oversight, I realized that sometimes I would stop giving my best. It was really hot. On really hot days, we would go to these computer rooms where they have a lot of air conditioning. And we would suddenly find work we need to do in this room. And we weren't doing our best. We were wasting the company's money, wasting. So I ask you this, are we cheating the boss at work? Wherever you are you doing and giving your best? See, Elisha had to feel obscure, walking behind these cows plowing this field. But I think he understood something that God rewarded him for, that when you give your best in obscurity, God will reward it. because only obscure to humans, to men. If you can grab this today, this will be life-changing for you. You cannot be obscure. You cannot be hardly visible. You cannot be out of God's sight. It's impossible. David said in the Old Testament, hey, where I go from heaven or all the way to hell, God, you're right there with me. You see me. You see, a lot of us feel like we live in obscurity. We're not even noticed. I don't think God knows I'm here. I've messed up. He can't care about me anymore. But look at what happened when Elijah meets Elisha for the first time. God had told Elijah to go find this guy and anoint him as his successor, to bring him with him. This is in 1 Kings 19:19. If you're learning your Bible, just go to the middle and go left. You'll come across it. And it says, so Elijah went and found Elisha. And the first time I read this, this is how westernized I'm becoming. I thought it said Snapchat. I thought, why is Snapchat in the Bible? So Elisha, the son of Snapchat, was plowing a field. He went out and found him doing what he had been done for all those years, following the back of a cow. But get this, it was even worse than that as far as his rank in life. There were 12 teams of oxen in the field, and Elisha was plowing the 12th team, which means he not only had to follow behind his, he had to follow behind 11 other sets of mess. He was at the bottom of the bottom. He was on the bench not playing, or just the one that was least valued, set to the back. And the Bible says that Elijah went over to him. And again, you would think God's calling you. This is going to be a big, huge, you know, ceremony. And look what it says. It says Elijah went over, threw his cloak over back of him, and walked away. How strange would that be to you? You're in the field working, and some guy just walks up and throws his jacket over you and leaves. See, in the Bible, this was very significant because that cloak represented Elisha's calling, putting on Elisha. See, the New Testament and Jesus very clearly says this, that what you do is unseen is unrecognized, that God sees. Matthew 6:4. It's referring specifically to giving, but it says give in secret. Don't make a big deal. Don't boast about what you're doing for God. It says your Father who sees everything will reward you. And see, I felt that as I was working on this week and last week, I want you guys to know this, and I want whoever's watching in Sylvania to know this. And I put this in here because I truly believe it, and I'm taking the time to say it because this is a battle I fight here. And it's one that swallowed me, and I refuse to be swallowed by it again. And that's this. Sylvania is not just a small number at the bottom of God's list. Scriven County is not just a number at the population that they put us down at the bottom. They only have 15, 17,000, however many in the city. They're there. And God doesn't view you that way. He doesn't view this county that way. No matter what's happened in the past, no matter what the long history is, no matter what the divides have been, God doesn't see that in us. But you need to know this even more. Neither are you. You are not at the bottom of the list. You're not unknown to God. Whether you've been saved for 10 minutes or 20 years or 50 years, you are not unknown to the Father. And I see a lot of people who don't know their value because they don't know that God sees them and He cares. You need to know that. Jesus gave this same instruction about what's seen, what God sees that we do in private. He gave it this instruction on praying, on fasting, on giving, on work, and how you work when no one's looking. You see, obscurity is something that I struggled with for a while. Like I said before, this small town mentality, Screven, you know, people have, and we all shake our heads, and I've heard just about all of us say it. Well, you know, Screven County, ain't nothing here, ain't never going to be nothing here. You know, we could have had a paper factory, we could have had a university, right? Anybody heard those things? We could have had this, but they wouldn't let it happen. It may be true, and a lot of that is true, but it is very much something that sucks the life out of us. And obscurity I struggled with until I heard a pastor say this. This guy was, it was a, from a big church, and he was saying that people were fussing at him about being about numbers, because he tracked everything. How many people were here? How many people gave? How many people? And we track a lot of stuff. We count and we know who's where, because it's how we keep up with you and how we, I feel you deserve to be treated. But he said this. He said, every number has a name, and every name has a story, and every single one of those stories matters to God. So you're not just a number. You're not just a driver's license number or social security number. You're not, for you in high school and college and middle school, you're not just a number in the room. Your teacher may not know your name. Your instructor may not know your name. But I guarantee you, your Heavenly Father knows your name, whether you've served him or not. You see, you are not small, and there's no such thing. To God, there is no small serving. There's no service that is small. There's no person that is somehow more valuable or less valuable. Whether you're mowing the yard, working in the nursery, teaching, running sound, video, whatever it may be, there's no small serving. God doesn't see it that way. Elisha would tell you that faithfulness over magnitude. Be faithful over magnitude. How do you say that? Well, Clint, well, think about if you've ever heard of Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa was a physical, tiny woman who did a lot of small, like she feeding people. God took her faithfulness and made magnitude out of it. It wasn't her that made the magnitude. God made it affect people's lives. God stretched her to be well-known and famous from a lady who just wanted to see people fed and taken care of. It's not the small things, but it's the small things done right. Elisha would tell you, listen, I just did the small things. Even after going with Elijah, Elisha had to take care of small things. He was the assistant to Elijah. And it was 10 years before God would ever use Elisha to do anything, any one of his 28 miracles, which was twice what Elijah did. That you choose not to believe the lie of small things or obscurity. Look what Jesus said, and this is in Luke 10. Jesus said, if you're faithful in little things, you'll be faithful in the large ones. But if you're dishonest in the little things, you're not going to be honest with greater responsibilities. It's not just truth in the world. A lot of people will quote this. You can earn your way to the top and work your way to the top. And you can. But that wasn't the world's principle. This was God's principle from the beginning. You see, I think Elisha would go even further and tell you this, that your next step is your best step. You can't live on yesterday's step. If you remember in the Bible, and I didn't give you the scripture, there was a time when God was feeding his people that were out in the desert every day when they'd wake up in the morning. It'd be basically like if Donna decided to just give everybody free donuts every morning. Every morning you go out, you open your mailbox, and there's a whole thing of free donuts. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, that's basically what the Israelites did. Every morning they would go out, and there'd be bread on the ground, and they would harvest that. That's what they would eat. But there was a key. When they put the donuts in your mailbox, you had to eat them that day. The Bible says that when they tried to save it over a day, it would basically turn rotten. You see, a lot of us live that way in our steps in life. You've taken one step, but you're stale in that step. Now you're just kind of standing there. You're not moving forward. Just before Elijah leaves Elisha, he was basically telling him, listen, you can't live off your last step. You can't live off what you just did. That was a step forward. Now let's keep moving. But just before Elijah leaves Elisha, this is when the chariot of fire comes and takes him away. He challenges Elisha. In 2 Kings 2, it says, when they came to the other side is this. Elijah had just said, hey, we need to go across there, but there's a river in between us. So he takes his jacket off, smacks the water, and the water parts, and he strolls right on across. I mean, yeah, that's like a mic drop moment. Like, yeah, I'm not worried about it. Just watch this. Part the water, and across he goes. When they get to the other side, Elijah turns to Elisha and says, tell me what I can do for you before I check out. Look at the sex part of the verse. It says, and Elijah replied to him, please give me double of your spirit and let me be your successor. And pastors preach the mess out of this scripture. And they usually take it out of context. That whatever somebody else has got, God's going to give me double. God's going to give me double. He'll give me double, double. And some of these, and just, I don't know. It gets under my skin. That's one of those things that as I hear people teach, I'm like, let's teach it biblically. Let's not just make it about get. That's not what he's doing. So he says, let me be your successor. And in 2 Kings 10, it says, Elijah says, you've asked something difficult. In other words, what you're asking me is not easy. But notice he doesn't discourage him. Elisha, you need to dial it back a little bit. You know, maybe a third, maybe a fourth. You know, maybe a 10% extra, but this double stuff, no. He didn't dial him back, but he did tell him, you got to be in a certain place. And look what it says. It says, if you see me when I'm taken from you, then you will get your request. But if you're not here, you won't. What was he telling him? He's telling him, you need to take your next steps. You need to stay with me. You need to be faithful. What if Elisha had just felt that day like we all have? Anybody ever called into work when you weren't sick? Anybody ever told the boss, I'm sick? Or now in the last several days, now be honest, the last several year, like, hey, I had dinner with somebody last night and they tested positive. Yeah, you're all laughing because you, right? I think they were positive that you weren't with them. That was it, they were positive. And we call into work. What if Elijah had checked out that day and missed Elijah going in the chariot of fire and not received it simply because he didn't take a step, simply because he didn't show up? You see, I hope you know that. You need to hear this. Stick it out. There's this myth that some pastors, oh my gosh, it's late. Somebody should have waved at me. Okay, there's this myth that pastors teach, that sometimes they teach that you get saved and life's going to be all fun. Not necessarily. Don't quit. Don't get out of it. Don't stop this walk with God. Don't stop coming to church, because most statistics will tell you if you stop coming to church, the next thing is walking away from God. It's statistically more likely that that's what's going to happen if you walk away from relationships. Don't stop taking one step. See, the Bible even says, and I'm going to fly through this, guys in the back, so hang on, that God, the Bible tells us that you and I can do more than Jesus did, that our one steps will be greater, that we'll move forward, that a city, a county, a community can do even greater things than other places and we've done in the past. Why? Because God said so, because he doesn't see us as obscure. So if real quick, if we had to say goodbye to Elijah, he's heading up into the stands, here's what he would tell us this. First, you're always in God's sight. There's some of you like me that struggled, that does God even see me? Are we ever going to be a church? There was probably about 7 or 8 years ago, I really bemoaned, God, are we ever going to have any mass? Are we ever going to have any a number of people so we can accomplish things? And I was talking to one of the pastors who was with me this week. This has been several years ago. I had the opportunity to bump into him and chat with him for a minute and was telling him about Sylvania, telling him about Scriven County, telling him about our church. And he asked me, he goes, do you guys do outreach? Do you do egg drops and all that kind of stuff? And yes, and he asked numbers. He said, well, how many people are in your city, just the city? I said, 4,000 people. He said, do you realize that if you have, say, 300 people in your city, you have over 10% of your city in your church? Nobody else sitting at this table, and it was a group of large churches, nobody else at this table could do that. You couldn't have 10% of Birmingham, 10% of Atlanta, 10% of Statesboro. But God's put that in us and that ability in us here. It's not about numbers, it's those numbers that have names and those names that have stories and those stories that are hurting, that we serve a God who can bring healing. Amen? God always has you in his sight. The next thing, and these verses are online. You can get the verses. The second thing is take your one step. You don't have to understand it fully. Some of you are asking, what is this step two thing tonight? Come find out. It's simply us helping get you on the road to your purpose and serving in the purpose and in the arena God created you to do. 6 o'clock tonight. If you haven't signed up, it doesn't matter. Show up tonight right next door and they'll be ready for you. Take your one step. You have to go from this. You have to go from inspiration to participation. We are failing in any area if we just inspire you. Yay, yay, I'm excited about it. But you never participate. It's like joining the football team and the coach says, hey, you want to come in? No, I was just inspired to join. I'm on the team. I got the jersey. No, but really, we need you to play. No, I don't want to participate. And it seems funny, but we do that to God. We join a church. We find Jesus. We do all this stuff, and then we just kind of sit and do nothing. We're here to serve, and we as a church are here to serve, and you, as us as the people of God, are here to serve. These kings came to Elisha, and they ran out of water. And they told him, hey, we need water, we're all going to die. Elisha did not tell them just to sit and wait on God. And if you look this up, it's 2 Kings 3:16. He then said to them, hey, go to this valley and start digging ditches. Why? It goes on to tell them that I'm going to fill them up with water. But the thing is, you're not going to hear the wind blow. You're not going to hear a big noise. You're just being faithful. And when you're faithful, I'm going to fill these ditches up with water and take care of you. And we're going to close with this. And guys, the ushers, you can go ahead and switch over and y'all can come back. Sorry, y'all hang with me. But number three, you need to know this. Even when you don't see it, you may have taken a step. Some of you may have started tithing. Some of you, maybe you're just trying this church thing out. You're walking in like, what is going on? What have I walked into? But I want to encourage you with this. Even when you don't see it, don't quit. Keep taking a step. And if your one step is simply showing up this morning, then that's a huge deal. If your one step was coming in this morning and maybe letting God actually deposit something on the inside of you, then keep coming. 2 Corinthians says this, 2 Corinthians 4, and we'll close with this. Why don't you bow your heads and close your eyes? I'm going to read this to you, then I'm going to pray over you. It says, so we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that we can't see. The Bible's clear. There's nowhere in it that says you have to understand everything to partake of God, to get to heaven. It says, for the things we now see will soon be gone, but the things we can't see, eternity is going to be forever. And that's where we are, eternity. That's what we're talking about today. The Bible tells us in Romans 10, 9 and 10, it's in your notes, you can look it up. It says, if you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth that Jesus is who he says he is. That's all it is. Baptism does not get you saved. Baptism is a sign that I have received Jesus. Don't anybody ever tell you they have to add something on to you believing and you doing what God's asked you to do. We never close the service without asking this, and then we're going to go enjoy our afternoon. If you would say, Clint, I need to meet Jesus. I need to receive him. I need to believe. I don't understand it, but I just know I need something in my life. If that's you this morning, I'm not inviting you up front. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm just going to ask you to simply wave at me and let me pray with you. Anybody else? All right, real quick, let's pray this together. Say, Lord Jesus. Come on, say it like you mean it. Lord Jesus, today I receive you. I receive you in my heart. I confess you with my mouth that you are Lord. Forgive me, God, for my mess, and help me follow you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, why don't you stand up with me? If you made that prayer, if you said it and you believed it in your heart, you meant it, grab a little card in front of you, mark on it, throw it in the offering on the way back. And let me say this. We're out of time, so we need to go. But if you made that decision and the water's still warm and you want to get baptized, come find us. We'll dunk you here now, and we'll give you the stuff to go home in. All right? Let me try that again. All right? All right, let me pray, and then we're going to sing this one song real quick just to let things settle in our hearts, and then we're going to enjoy our day. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. I bless everybody who got baptized today, Father, that we celebrate with them their decision to identify with you. Let it be a marked day that changes their lives forever. And God, we thank you for being so good to us. And today, Father God, we magnify you, we sing to you, we worship you, not because we're worth anything, but we were worth Jesus. And God, today we thank you for being so good to us. And we thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,